course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I am one of your friends. Today, we're joined, as always, by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, not doing too shabby. Just hanging out, doing my thing, and heard some weird whistling the other day. That was odd.
Yeah, it's peculiar. I kind of had a weird thing. I looked out my back door, and there was this group of people. I don't know what they were doing out there, but it was unnerving. But yeah, we're going to talk about the movie The Whistler today. We were originally going to talk about Faces of Death, but apparently Faces of Death, they just don't want to be seen. They just don't have a very wide release. So we couldn't see it. We jumped the gun. We thought we'd be able to see it. We assumed it would be in the area. Nope. So we pivoted, and we are seeing The Whistler, or reviewing The Whistler, excuse me, which will not be out until the 17th in theaters and on video demand. But we were able to get a screener link. So we will have a spoiler-free review, that's it, of that coming up. You know, it's almost like we haven't done this for a couple of weeks.
Right.
Very weird. So yeah, we do apologize for, we've missed a couple of weeks here in the last month. Ironically, both weeks we've missed have been when we were going to review Ready or Not 2. So yeah. It just went in the cards. Sorry, ladies. We weren't meant to review your movie yet. Just in a nutshell, I liked the movie. Thought it was fun. Thought it was I don't think it was a horror movie, but it was a gory little action movie. But it was fun, much like the first one. I did like it. Did enjoy it. So there. I guess that's the Dave review in a nutshell. So besides The Whistler, did you watch anything else, Ike?
Let's see. I did watch Ready or Not. Yeah, I was really excited to watch Faces of Death. I like Dacre Montgomery, who is in the movie. He's from Stranger Things, and I've obviously heard of like the old Faces of Death. So I was very curious to see how they were going to kind of put that into a modern format. But yeah, didn't get to see that. I did watch Ready or Not. It was good. Like you said, not much of a horror movie, more action than horror. But it was a nice little tie off to the story that we got in the first one. Let's see, what else did I watch? I've been not horror related, I've been watching a lot of Malcolm in the Middle because they did that revival series on Hulu. Other than that, not a whole lot, honestly. I've been pretty busy when I'm not working.
Yeah, I haven't watched a whole lot either. But yeah, I was looking forward to Faces of Death too. I was all set to do this whole talk about, you know, the Faces of Death video releases back in the day and how they were, quote unquote, supposedly snuff films, and everybody thought they were. And I believe later it was proven maybe a lot of it was staged, but, you know, some of it that, I don't know, it is what it is. And I think, you know, they were tying that in as a kind of a found, I don't know if it's a found footage. I don't know what the modern is doing. I think it's like someone who's archiving stuff found some of these. What would be like the videos of, you know, in the past, and that's how they were spinning it. So yeah, I was looking forward to it, but it is what it is. I guess we'll wait for streaming for that movie. So all right, well then let's take a really quick break, and when we come back, we will have news and birthday stuff. We got a ton of that stuff, so stick around.
Make sure you subscribe to Listen to Their Screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number 2 in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. Spread the news. Spread the news.
And welcome back with the news. All right, we're going to start us off here with some items of news. We have some confirmation that Dan Mancini is writing a new Chucky movie for theaters. This is, of course, super exciting. we kind of anticipated that this might be something to come in the very near future. So obviously, we're always down for some Chuck, and yeah, I can't wait to hear more about this. Love to see it maybe pick up after the Chucky series, or maybe it'll be completely unrelated. I guess we'll wait to see.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, because Chucky's always been they've kept their storyline intact. Everything's fed off whatever, so I don't think they're gonna scrap everything. But yeah, it is kind of cool to think them return to the it's again, Child's Play is man, they've done it, right? They went to
Yeah.
the series when we were talking about, hey, people should do this. They had their little run, it got canceled, and now they're coming back to movies because they did the series long enough to make you want another movie. They know how to keep you wanting more Chucky, so yeah, it's very exciting. And all the key components have, I don't know if they're, no one's officially tied to anything, obviously, but they've all come out and said, hey, yeah, if this happens, I hope I'm in it. So it should be good. It should be fun. And I'm in for it. Whatever it is, just it'll be fun. Let's do it.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll see what happens, but should be a good time. Along the same lines of reviving some old series, the entire Tales from the Crypt series is coming to Shudder. First season releases on May 1st, with additional seasons releasing every Friday after that. This is pretty exciting. They're not remaking it, but they are putting it on to Shudder. And if I remember correctly, for a long time, you really couldn't watch this hardly anywhere unless you owned it on physical media. So that's really exciting that we'll finally have the entire Tales from the Crypt series on Shudder eventually, once they start releasing everything in May and rolling from there.
Yeah, again, I've seen the entire series. It's a lot of fun. I remember back in the day on HBO, a lot of fun. And this is a big get for Shudder. This really is because a lot of people have a lot of nostalgia for this. But this is also the kind of thing that new viewers, if they're seeing it for the first time, will really get into, and probably get invested in. So yeah, and I like how they're doing it, right? They're releasing a whole season at a time. Each week, kind of spreading it out, but not so much that you're dying, right? You get a whole season at a time. So
Yeah.
yeah, it's pretty cool. And that's again, we have screamed from the rooftops about Shudder, Screambox, whatever else. And yeah, they pull another major get here with Tales from the Crypt. That's it's pretty historic. I mean, Tales from the Crypt's a big piece of horror history.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and like you said, we always speak the pleasantries of Shudder and Screambox, and this is just another great reason. They're keeping this old media alive, which is something that a lot of these bigger corporations probably are not super interested in, as we can kind of tell. But yeah, no, I'm extremely excited for this. I've not watched every single episode of every season. I've seen bits and pieces here and there, so this will be good for me to kind of be able to sit down and say, okay, let me watch all this all the way through, and let's rock and roll. So I'm excited for that. But all right, moving on to some upcoming birthdays. We got a lot of these. We have April 18th, 1972, Eli Roth. Of course, Eli Roth made Hostel 1 and 2, Cabin Fever, The Green Inferno, as well as many, 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 many more. Eli Roth is a legend of the horror industry, and I think one day he will be spoken about in the same sentence of your greats, like your Carpenters and Cravens potentially. So, but for now, he is our friend. Not that he knows us, but
You don't know. Yeah. I mean, he's got a pretty great, resume under his belt, and he's not done, nowhere near done, right? I'm sure he'll have more to come. Again, I don't know what he's currently working on. I'm sure he's working on something, but yeah, good things. His stuff's always, I don't know, it's pretty twisted, pretty he knows how to push the boundaries, and that's good, right? Horror needs someone like that to push the boundaries. That's how you advance it along. So.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And yeah, definitely, Eli Roth is good at pushing those boundaries. If I would say he's probably the best at doing that. But happy birthday to Eli. Speaking of legends, we have April 19th, 1946. We have Tim Curry, of course, known for his role in Rocky Horror Picture Show, the It miniseries. He was also in Clue. And then more recently, he had a cameo in Scream. I love Tim Curry, and one of my favorite movies of his, and I mentioned it, was Clue. That's such a fun movie for people who've never seen it. There's like there's like Clue. You have all the different endings, all the different potential people who could have killed whoever. And like I love in the movie that they have like the ending, which is like the canon ending, but then each character also has an ending where they all were the killer. So I love Clue. I love that movie. I just had to bring that up.
Yeah, I mean, again, Tim Curry, based on Rocky Horror and it alone, is legendary. But yeah, he's done a lot of other things, and it just seems like such a cool dude, right? It just everything you see, any clip of him, and any interaction he has with whatever fellow actors, fans, whatever it may be, just seems like such a cool dude. And yeah, he's one of those guys to me that if he's in it, I'm gonna give it a watch just because he's in it. And that's just been his whole career, but. Yeah, again, I mean, whew. Rocky Horror and Pennywise, you don't get much bigger than that.
I was gonna say you can't really get any bigger than literally Rocky Horror and it. So I mean, those are two of the biggest series and films from that time. So it's hard to beat that. But all right, we're gonna jump now to April 20th of 1945. We have Judith O'Day, and she is known as she's done all, more than this, I'm sure. But
Yeah.
Barbara from Night of the Living Dead, they're
That's right.
coming to get you, Barbara.
Yeah, I mean,
Iconic.
it's the line, right? I mean, come on. And yeah, she's still out there. She's done some of the other Of the Dead movies, I think, here and there popped up. I don't know if they're cameos. I'm not real familiar, but yeah, I mean, and it's one of those things, no matter what she does, I mean, this will be what most of us remember, right? She was great in Night of the Living Dead, and that's the line, right? When you remember this movie, it's that line, and it's about her character. So it's you don't get any more legendary than that.
Yeah, absolutely. And not to mention, this is like the OG of the Romero series. Obviously, this also spawned the Return of the Living Dead movies. But yeah, I mean, this is like the progenitor of all zombie movies. And she got to be a part of that. And she was fantastic. So, but, all right. Speaking of 420, April 20th, 1959, we have Clint Howard. Of course, known for Ice Cream Man, the Halloween remake, and Terrifier 3. He's been in so much stuff. He does a lot of side roles and cameos and things like that. But I believe you got to talk to him recently, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, not too long ago. So yeah, there's a if you go on to the YouTube channel, there is a little piece of me talking to him. I primarily when I interviewed him, I talked to him about Rock and Roll High School, the Ramones movie, but I could not talk about not talk about Ice Cream Man. So there is some of that in there, but and it's funny because Clint Howard, people always think of Clint Howard, right? That's Ron's brother, right? And
Yeah.
he's in Ron's movies, right? He's got a little bit part in Apollo 13 and blah, blah, blah. Dude, this dude has gone back. Clint Howard was in fucking the original Star Trek series. He was in Bonanza and all those movies as a child actor. I mean, he goes back so far and has so many acting credits. I mean, it is phenomenal, the hundreds of acting credits. When I was preparing to speak to him and I looked back through these, I knew about the big ones, right? I knew he was in the Gunsmoke or whichever Bonanza, whichever one. I don't know. I'm not a Western guy, but I knew he was in Star Trek. I remember that, and of course, I knew all the big stuff. But he has done so much. But on top of that, he's just such a freaking cool, laid back guy, and he just has fun, right? I'm sorry if you've not seen Ice Cream Man, you're missing out. It is a phenomenal horror movie, so good, and. It really, I mean, I wish they would merchandise Ice Cream Man more. I know there's a new Ice Cream Man coming out. I don't know the ties to this one. I don't know what it is, but I want a Clint Howard Ice Cream Man figure. Man, that's great. But yeah, I love Clint Howard. He is so much fun. And he was great in Terrifier 3, right? You remember him in the bar scene with the Santa Claus and Art, and
No
he was
doubt.
there. Yeah, he was great, man. He was great in that. I mean, and I mentioned that to him, right? I mean, dude, you got to be killed by Art the Clown, man. That's pretty cool. And yeah, he just loves, just he just I don't know, man, he just loves what he does and loves acting. And I mean, his dad was an actor, his brother's an actor and one of the biggest directors of all time, and and he's a great guy, man. He really is. But yeah, if you go look on the YouTube channel, there's I think a couple of different clips, right? Both me talking to him about the Ramones movie, and I think I did split a separate thing just for us. I don't know, maybe not. Maybe it's just one, but it's out there. Me talking to Clint Howard about Rock and Roll High School and Ice Cream Man primarily, but yeah. And again, just do not underappreciate Clint Howard. He has one of the most phenomenal resumes in acting. Just look at it. Dude has been working since the mid 60s and has done so many things. It's just
Yeah,
unreal.
absolutely. And I was gonna say, I mean, he, like you said, he's kind of known for being, like you said, or, he's Ron Howard's brother, man. He's done a lot of stuff. So, a big happy birthday to Clint, especially since I will consider him a friend of the show.
Yeah.
Hope he's having a good day.
And how appropriate 420 for Clint Howard. That man, that just fits.
Good old 420. Well, and speaking of, we have four birthdays on four or three birthdays on 420. Judith O'Day and Howard, and then the
Oh.
last, but not least, is
No.
April 20th, 1979. Ruth Connell, of
Oh.
course, she's known for her role as Rowena in Supernatural. Yeah, I mean, we love Supernatural. We love Ruth Connell. She's fantastic. And I believe Dave even has a cat named after Rowena.
Absolutely. Ruth is so phenomenal. Oh, just both a celebrity crush of mine and Monica's. She is phenomenal. She's talented. She's gorgeous. So kind, so nice. Everything you see of her. And got her started. I mean, she's actually by, tr I don't know. I don't know how you say it, right? Initially was an absolutely phenomenal, trained, accomplished dancer. That's how she got her
Yeah.
start. So, but yeah, of course she's married to Rob Benedict, also from Supernatural. They have a little girl, which is just pretty cool. And yeah, she's amazing. She's again another one of those. If Ruth Connell's in it, I will watch it just because of her.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like you said, she's fantastic. She's great in Supernatural, but she's very talented outside of Supernatural too. So, very good. Happy birthday to Ruth Connell. And, we have two more here. We have another legend. I mean, I would say most of these, I could consider them to be legends in some regard. But this one is April 22nd, 1937. Jack Nicholson, of course, he's known for his role in The Shining as well as many other things. But I mean, Jack Nicholson is the man in The Shining. It's very, very scary, very, very frightening, and just did such a good job in that movie.
Yes. Again, he's got a huge career, right? It's far exceeds The Shining, right? One flew over the
Oh, yeah.
cuckoo's nest, blah, blah, blah. So much stuff. But for what we're doing here, right? It's The Shining. That's what he's most known for within the horror. I love him in The Shining, don't get me wrong, but to me, Jack Nicholson it's always my Joker because he played Joker in Batman 89. It was just absolutely amazing. And also one of the wisest business moves ever made by an actor, because for whatever reason, either he got good advice or was just smart enough to see, he took much less pay than he usually got for a cut of merchandising, and which was not a typical type thing back then, but he made so much more money than he would have just on a flat fee, because Batman 89 was absolutely one of the most merchandised movies out there.
Yeah.
And again, he made bank, but I thought he was great as the Joker. But I mean, he's great at everything, right? And he's one of those guys you see him, right? Whether he's sitting courtside of the Lakers or in a ship in the ocean or a yacht in the ocean, and he's however old, he's freaking pretty old, right? He's 80 or 90 or something like that. I don't know what he is. I'm not going to do the math, but and he's still out there just having fun, doing his thing, living his best life, and more power to him.
Yeah, absolutely. More power to him. Amen. But our last birthday here is April 22nd as well, but it's 1966. We have Jeffrey Dean Morgan, of course, known for his role as in Supernatural. He is Sam and Dean's father, drawing a name blank on his name.
John.
John, yes, and of course he's also Negan in The Walking Dead. But it's also funny. Slight spoiler for The Walking Dead and slight spoiler for Invincible if you've never seen the show. So in Invincible, he plays Conquest, which is one of the Viltrumites, and the main character Invincible is voiced by Steven Yeun. And there's a joke that says, if I had a nickel for every time that Jeffrey Dean Morgan's character brutalized Steven Yeun's character, I would have two nickels, which is not that much, but it's weird that it's happened twice. Obviously, he killed Glenn and The Walking Dead very brutally. And then the Conquest fight and Invincible. I've read the comic, so I've not watched it yet, but it is absolutely grotesque how brutal that fight is, but it's so great. Also, I started watching Invincible. That's a side note. But anyways, back to the point. I love Jeffrey Dean Morgan. He's great. He's even great in Grey's Anatomy. I mean, I think he plays Denny in that show.
I mean, yeah, just all the things he pops up in, right? I mean, he obviously Supernatural, he's so known for, but he was only in it a little over a season, barely over a season. And obviously Walking Dead, right? That's a big impact, right? But he's in but he pops up, right? He's in The Boys. He had a spot in The Boys and all these things. He's such a cool guy. I don't know, man. He's so amazing, so cool. And he's one of those guys. He is right up there as one of the celebrities I'd probably most, like a chance to meet. I'd love to sit down and, have a drink with him and just hang out because he just seems so cool, right? I mean, just what you see is what you get with him, and he just seems like such a genuine, great guy. Him and his wife have been together forever, and they do a lot of stuff together, and he's just such a cool guy, right? He has so many cool roles for us that are, into horror and pop culture and comic stuff and what have you. He's just always seems to be there. And yeah, it's just, I don't know. I mean, I again, one of my favorite celebrities in the world.
Yeah, no, 100%. He's one of those people that, like, if I see him in a movie, I'm like, that's a draw for me. Like, I'm like, oh, hey, I wonder what he's up to. I wonder what he's gonna do. But yeah, I mean, he's got so much going for him. Like you said, he's got such a great personality, and it's just hard not to, like, oh wow, like, let's watch that movie, But no, yeah, I absolutely love Jeffrey Dean Morgan, and I too hope that he is having a fantastic birthday. Obviously, it's not happened yet, but it's going to happen very soon. So
And I'm sure he will.
I'm sure. But all right, that's it for our birthdays. We have some upcoming anniversaries. We have some really good ones. So first things first, we have April 18th, 2025. We have Sinners. We have an entire review of this movie. We both loved Sinners. Sinners is perhaps the best movie of 2025. And I don't know. There's something so different about this movie, and it just strikes the right nerve.
It does. It literally should have been Best Picture. I'm sorry. No offense to anybody else. I know it won some awards. I get it. Hats off, Michael B. Jordan. Totally deserved to win the Oscar, but the movie should have won. Maybe I'm biased. I don't care. It should have won. Such a phenomenal movie. I'm such a huge mark for Michael B. Jordan. I love him. He is such a talented person. Such a good actor, and seems like a pretty cool dude, and very easy on the eyes to boot. So, yeah, but he again, this to me, yeah, probably my favorite movie of 2025, and not just horror, just in general, any movie. This was to me was the best. Should have won. If you've not seen it, shame on you. So good, so good. It's weird. It's kind of I don't know. It feels weird that it's only a year old. I guess because it's done so much and received so much praise, and I don't know, I guess it just feels like it's been out there a few more years, but no, not really. But again, it's a benchmark of horror.
Yeah, no, it absolutely is, and you're 100% correct. I remember I was watching something, and they're like, "Oh, it's been a year already since Sinners came out." I'm like, "Wow!" I was like, "It really has been a year." I was like, "Holy shit!" But no, I agree. Michael B. Jordan's fantastic. I love anything he does. It's just it's weird to me. It's like with this movie, and then what was the other one? Him and Ryan Coogler. Ryan Coogler is, like, well known for, like, a handful of movies. Sinners, Creed, Black Panther. I mean, all of these movies that he's like really well known for, it's got Michael B. Jordan in it.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't blame him. Ryan Coogler is great too, but I mean, I would cast Michael B. Jordan in any movie I ever made ever if I ever made a movie.
Yeah. I mean, they're all good. But I fucking love the Creed movies. Of course, I'm a huge Rocky fan, right? And I love the Creed movies. I mean, the third one is I would have tweaked a few things, but man, the first couple they're great. And
Yeah.
they really, I don't know, and they really transitioned the whole Rocky franchise for the modern generation in a great way. But and yeah, I mean, Michael B. Jordan was great playing Apollo 7, Adonis. It was good. I mean, everything he's in is I love.
Yeah, same. Absolutely. I cannot disagree with that one. But all right. But if you haven't seen it yet, make sure you guys go watch Sinners. I believe it is on HBO Max. And in addition to that, check out our review. Fantastic movie. But we're going to jump now to April 21st of 1989. We have Pet Sematary. Again, another great movie. Stephen King did some work on this one. Obviously, it's one of his books. And it's such a fun movie. It's got that slight disturbingness to it, especially with how they did some of the makeup and effects. And I loved it. It's a great
Yeah,
movie.
it is, right? It's great. I mean, fucking got a Ramon song on the soundtrack. Dude, it's just this like checks all the boxes for me. But yeah, it's a great movie. This is I mean, no offense to anything. I love this one more than like the remake or anything else. It's so good.
That was really good. So I know you're a fan of the OG. I don't mind the remake, but I do think the original is better. I even really like the like straight to DVD sequel, Pet Sematary 2.
Yeah.
It has the kid from Terminator in it, Terminator 2, and
Yeah.
it has Clancy Brown, who would go on to voice Pat or not Patrick, Mr. Krabs in the SpongeBob.
Yeah.
But
Not so big on the Bloodlines or whatever came out recently. Ooh.
yeah, that one was not super great. It was just meh. It was all right, but we have a whole review of that one too. So if anybody out there
We
wants that,
do, we do,
go
we
check that
do.
out. But speaking of movies that we reviewed, April 21st, 2023, we've got Evil Dead Rise. This is very prompt because, or I should say, timely because the new Evil Dead Burn is coming out here in a few months. Evil Dead Rise is fantastic. We both really love this movie. We reviewed this movie. Nearly perfect record for this film, and pretty much any Evil Dead movie. I don't think I've watched an Evil Dead movie and been like, I didn't like that movie. I think I've genuinely enjoyed every single Evil Dead movie, at least like 75% minimum of those movies. I can't say any more than that. And I'm excited for Evil Dead Burn, which is just around the corner.
Yeah. I mean, Evil Dead's such a peculiar franchise though, because it's like they do their thing and it's so good, and then there's like a little break, right? I mean, a little, maybe a little gap. Not, they haven't been that long, but and then they start to come up with something new, whether it be the series or this new trilogy of movies, and they're right, they try to, freshen it up a little or whatever it may be, and you think, ooh, what's this gonna be? And then it's like, damn, it's just as good, right? It's like no matter how they approach this thing, no matter how they come at it, it's just really good. And I'm really excited by this, the rumored potential that they're going to take it all and bring it all together
Yeah.
and everything else. But yeah, Evil Dead Rise, man, it's freaking great.
It really was. I was gonna say I love Evil Dead Rise, and I think that Burn's gonna be even better. And then like you said, I hope they're gonna make a nice little like wrap up with the last movie and just kind of bring everything together. I feel like that'd be really cool to see. But we'll see. I think we're a couple years away from the last movie. I think we gotta get through Burn first before we get too crazy on the next one. But very good. And we have one last upcoming movie anniversary. It's April 22nd, 1935. We have Bride of Frankenstein. Which, weirdly enough, this is a weird connection I made. So I told you I was watching Malcolm in the Middle. And in Malcolm in the Middle, there's a woman. She's one of the moms. But she's played by a famous actress, Cloris Leachman, who was in Young Frankenstein in 1974. Not related at all to this movie, but I just thought that was a fun little connection.
Well, you could say it's not related, but it is very much a spiritual successor. Young Frankenstein First of all, Young Frankenstein uses sets from Frankenstein and Bride of Frankenstein, actual sets, the same sets, and it is very much a spiritual successor to those old. Even though it is, a lot of comedy, it's still a spiritual successor. Lots of people still put it in with the Universal movies, but again, everybody knows I love Bride of Frankenstein. I love Frankenstein. To me, there's not much better 1-2 punch of two movies to watch together than Frankenstein and Bride of Frankenstein. It's so remarkable that a character who was really only in this movie just a handful of minutes has become so iconic, and it's just such a testament to the movie and how it was delivered. But I don't know. Frankenstein, Bride of Frankenstein, are, to me, are just two absolutely perfect movies.
Yeah, absolutely. As I've never seen Bride of Frankenstein, but I've seen the original Frankenstein. I need to watch Bride, but I love the original Frankenstein, so I think that it's might be high time to watch the next one. So,
Definitely.
but all right, we're gonna move now to some upcoming releases. We got three, so we're gonna start with Lee Cronin's The Mummy. Which, before we talk about this, have you been hearing all the shit people have been giving Lee Cronin for putting his name before The Mummy? Like, because back in the day, John Carpenter put his name before The Thing. But if you've been hearing like people giving shit for that, I'm like, bro, Lee Cronin's done like a bunch of like really high like value movies that have like done really, really well. Like, this isn't his first rodeo. It's not like this is his first movie ever that he's made. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, yeah, he directed Evil Dead Rise. He did a couple other things too. I'm trying to remember what the other thing was that I've seen him in. But anyways, for sure though, he did Evil Dead Rise, which Evil Dead Rise is fantastic. And so I don't give a fuck. He can call Lee Cronin as the mummy all he wants. That's perfectly fine with
Yeah,
me.
and again, the Mummy is such, it's such a generic name, right? There's been lots of the Mummies. I mean, the original, the Brendan Fraser one, the Tom Cruise one, not to mention, right, the Hammer Horror and any other thing, right? So it does distinguish, set it apart a little bit. Who cares? I don't give a shit if they call it, whatever, shit on toast if it's a good movie. I mean, does it, I mean, yeah, the name's important. But the fact it's not like they're just it's like Joe Smith's The Mummy. It's not, I don't know. People get
Yeah.
caught up on so many things. But yeah, anyway, go ahead. We totally went on a tangent even before we got to do the description.
It happens. But no, so Lee Cronin's The Mummy is coming to theaters on April 17th, and it is described as the young daughter of a journalist disappears into the desert without a trace. 8 years later, the broken family is shocked when she is returned to them, as what should be a joyful reunion turns into a living nightmare. And we will be reviewing this movie next episode. I love the mummy concept. It's a fun, like, it almost seems old-timey, which, fun fact, do you know why we don't have as many mummies as we should have?
No, what?
The Victorians like to eat them. Like the Victorian era, like royals would eat mummies.
I thought there was a, I thought the first of all, I thought it was a joke. I thought you were setting it up for a joke. So I was a little disappointed there was no humor there, but that's kind of disturbing.
It is. I don't know the full context of this. I got down like a weird rabbit hole one time when people were talking about mummies online, and someone had mentioned that, and I read a couple things. So I'm not super well versed on the whys. Not that there's ever a good reason to eat a decomposing corpse.
I don't think so.
But I'm sure they had a reason. Whether or not, again, it was a good reason is to be seen. But yeah, we don't have as many mummies now because of that. But despite that disturbing fun fact, yeah, I'm excited for this. I've seen a couple trailers and they look pretty promising. And it looks like we're gonna get like to see like an actual mummy kind of creature as opposed to whatever that Tom Cruise mummy movie was, where it was just like a scantily clad woman.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
It happens.
It does.
Yeah, I'm down for any interpretation or whatever of one of the original monster movies, and that's what this is. And this one, though, so far gives the vibe that it is a very good modernization of the movie, right? Of the tale. And not just something that they're just slapping the name on. So I don't know. But yeah, I'm excited to see it. I love these kind of movies. And Yeah, it'll be fun to see and talk about it next episode.
Yep, absolutely. And then moving on from that, we have two other releases. Both of these are streaming releases, one on Shudder, one on Screambox, as we love to see. But first, we have Kenneled coming to Screambox on April 21st, and it is described as a destitute dog walker finds a wealthy client who saves him from financial ruin. But this is no ordinary dog. I'm gonna bet either it is a gimp suit man on a leash, or some sort of weird demon mutant thing. I'm kind of leaning. I'm kind of hoping for the first one. I feel like that'd make things a little more fun. Just
Yeah.
kidding. But yeah,
Either way, it
I'll
sounds interesting.
it does. Yeah, I mean, a destitute dog walker. That's kind of like Peter Parker, destitute dog walker. I love that. And yeah, I'm all for weird shit like this. I mean, again, without things like Screambox, I won't get on a tangent. We would never see a movie called Kenneled.
I think you're onto something with the name. Number one, the name Kenneled, right? That kind of with that name. The fact that they point out this dog walker is destitute, right? Because so he's very hard up for money, and I mean, really, is a wealthy client gonna just? I mean, they could find a normal dog walker if they need a normal dog walker, right? I mean, there's clearly something more to this, and I think they want you, yes, to believe that it's of the beast monster nature, but yeah, I don't. I think you're onto something. I don't think that's it. And I think this is going to be, I don't know, pretty twisted and pretty entertaining. And I'm very curious and looking forward to seeing it, actually. It sounds, I think they got, it could be interesting. Could be fun.
Yeah, I think so. We got some potential here. So, all right. Moving on to our other streaming release over on Shudder, and I said potential, and apparently that act like triggered Alexa's sleeper agent mode because she just came on for some reason. That's weird.
There you go.
Anyways, our other streaming release is Night Patrol. I'm actually really excited for this one. Night Patrol is coming to Shudder on April 17th. It is described as an LA cop discovers a local task force is hiding a secret that puts the residents of his childhood neighborhood in danger. Now, this movie has a absolutely fucking insane cast. Okay, we got
Yeah.
Justin Long, right? Which is great. We have a lot of folks that are getting sort of their start on this, which is great. But you also have people like CM Punk, Dermot Mulroney. Let's see, who else is in this? And the main guy's name is Jermaine Fowler. Jermaine Fowler, I think he was in, yes, Judas and the Black Messiah. Have you ever seen that one?
No.
That one's more of like it's about the Black Panther Party, but it has Daniel Kaluuya in it, who is from the Get Out, and it has Jesse Plemons, who's getting kind of a I would say a career peak right now with all the shit he's doing with like Begonia and stuff. But no, I love this cast already. I mean, this is just an insane cast just off of those handful of names. So I'm excited for this, and this is not a spoiler because it's in the trailer and it's on
Yeah.
IMDb. So it's about vampires.
That's about vampires. That's right. Which is exciting. Right? You had me at Justin Long and you had me at CM Punk. Yeah, I'd watch anything with those two in it. And then of course you throw vampires in. Fun shit. Yeah, this is again another it sounds fun. And it's another one of those movies that we probably wouldn't get if it wasn't for the streaming services for Shudder and Screenbox. So very cool.
Absolutely. So, all right. That does it for all of our news, birthdays, anniversaries, and releases. And we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will have our official review of The Whistler. Stick around.
This is Wrestling Nostalgia, the podcast that dives into wrestling history. Hey, wrestling fans, I'm Dave Dynasty. And if you enjoy podcasts that are knowledgeable and history-driven, then Wrestling Nostalgia is for you. With great guests and fun interviews, there are over 200 episodes in our archives. We chat with several first-time guests and often cover topics not discussed on other podcasts. Look up Wrestling Nostalgia on your favorite podcast platform and visit all of our links at linktree.com/wrasslepod. That is linktr.ee/rasslepod. And remember, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and keep on growing.
All right, we are back. It is review time, and we are reviewing The Whistler, written by Carolina Paez, Diego Velasco, and Esteban Orozco, directed by Diego Velasco, starring Diane Guerrero, Juan Pablo Rava, and many others. This movie is due to have a limited theatrical release and a video on demand release on April 17th. I don't know how diverse either of those are. That's just the information we were given. We were sent a screener link for this. And it was a kind of wild timing because we couldn't go to see or review Faces of Death. And I thought, well, hell, are we going to try for round three with Ready or Not 2? But no. We got to review The Whistler. And I have to say, this is a pretty fun movie. I do like movies that have a lot of roots in mythology, urban legend, I don't know what I'm trying to say, folklore type things. Were you able to do kind of any research on the background of this? Is this, I think this is an Argentina thing. Is that correct?
So I did do some research. And there is... So let me start by saying this. The Whistler is a South American legend. It's from the Los Llanos region of Venezuela and Colombia. Sure. And now there's other versions of this as well. So keep in mind that, like, just like every lore or like mythos or creature tale, the Whistler is not only from this area. There are other creatures that whistle and things like that from other areas, kind of like how the Sasquatch and Bigfoot and the Yeti are kind of all the same thing. The skunk ape from down here in Pensacola, Florida. That's our local cryptid, by the way. But anyways, the Whistler or Cibión is basically, it's a South American legend. He is either a child who was a spoiled brat and killed his father in rage, or he is a child who killed his father but protected his mother. And for some reason, whatever reason, he killed his father, and as punishment he was basically cast out. His punishment could have been anything from being whipped to being tarred and feathered to being covered in alcohol and sent out to be hunt down by wolves. There's all kinds of lore around his punishment. But essentially, he did something wrong. He was then punished. He was then made into mythos, where he very specifically on a musical scale would whistle in a D to G tone. It is a very deceptive and chilling faint whistle. And if you hear him really close, that means, or if you hear a faint whistle, that means he's really close. But if you hear a loud whistle, that means he's far away. So the quieter the whistle is, the closer he is to you. Mm-hmm. His appearance is often an extremely thin, towering figure wearing a ragged straw hat. Sometimes he sits in trees. Sometimes he carries a sack of bones, often believed to be his father's. And he oftentimes preys on drunkards, womanizers, and travelers. So basically, most of the time, evil people, it seems like. And but basically, you can drive him off with the sound of a dog's bark, a chili pepper, or the sound of a whip. So, yeah, lots of lore about this guy. I mean, lots of really cool lore. I did a real deep dive, and I watched a couple videos. So,
yeah, interesting. I've heard of different things, with the whistling and stuff, but not this specific one.
Same.
Yeah. So. Interesting. And it goes into some of that, right? Some of the background a little in the movies and in the movie. And, I don't know. I liked it, man. It felt kind of very real. It had a little bit of a grit to it, right? It's not real polished, which I like. And kind of fits this kind of thing. The movie was only an hour and a half-ish, give or take. But,
yeah,
it did have a couple parts. It felt a little slow, but it's okay. It didn't last too long. Overall, right? It had some good underlying stories with it. With the there's a daughter situation in the movie, Right, that's becomes pretty significant. And different things, right? There's some things that you discover too at the beginning, right, with this family's farm and land that and you hear about, some do they call them squatters? I can't remember. Is that the word they use? That are living on part of the land. And it's almost like at the beginning you don't think a lot of it, but then it becomes pretty important to the movie and stuff. But it's they don't have a lot of wasted action in the movie, right? It's pretty much anything they introduce or mention ties pretty firmly into the main story and all comes together. So and I have to say we get a lot of screeners of varying qualities and different things, and no disrespect to anybody, because I admire anybody's passion and creativity and efforts, and I know it's a lot of work to do this, even if you have a low budget, probably especially if you have a low budget. But I thought this movie, I don't know, man, it really delivered. I don't know what the budget was like on this and whatever, but it felt very polished, and it felt very well done. It didn't have anybody in it, that I knew of before this, but everybody was talented and delivered, and I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun, and if you're into that folklore, urban legend, mythology type, supernatural stuff, right, with different cryptids and urban legends of regions and stuff. I think this is a pretty good entry into that vein. Like, what do you think?
No, I would definitely agree. Like you said, it wasn't a terribly long movie, nor was it a terribly complex movie. But I think that it does a very good job of giving you the very gist of like the Whistler folklore. Like I said, there's a lot of varying stories about who the Whistler is, what he's done, what he will do. But it all kind of centers on the same thing, that this is kind of not a good guy that you want to run into. You know what I mean? Generally speaking, you don't want to run to this guy in the back alley. You know what I mean? He's gonna fuck you up. And I'm like, the film itself, it had some pretty decent effects at parts. There were some pretty graphic moments, which I feel like they did a really good job. Seemed very practical, and so I greatly enjoyed that. I also think that as an overall, especially for we were not expecting to watch this movie. I was definitely pleasantly surprised by what we got, and I feel like again it did a pretty good job of telling the gist of the folklore. It also does a very good job of mixing both the English and Spanish language. So there are subtitles, of course, but I feel like everything made sense. You know what I mean? The parts where they speak English, it made sense that they were speaking English. The parts they were speaking Spanish, it made sense they were speaking Spanish. I know some people complain about that kind of thing, so I just like to throw that out there, that this is a diverse movie with multi-language. Because for most of us, we don't care. But for those that do, I guess don't watch this movie. But anywho, I'm a huge fan of folklore, and I like to keep up to date. Like I said, I was talking about our local cryptid. When I moved to Pensacola, I looked up what is our local cryptid, and that's when I found that Pensacola is known for the skunk ape. So I love that, different areas have different cultural significance for different types of folklore, different mythos, different ghost stories, cryptids, and such. And so the Whistler is one that I had never heard of. I've heard of creatures and ghosts and stuff that do whistle, but not a ghost called the Whistler. So that was a very interesting thing to learn about, and it really sent me down a rabbit hole. I watched like four videos on YouTube about it from different people who were from the region. And then, of course, I did a Google search and read the good old Wikipedia and whatnot. But no, I quite enjoyed the movie. It gave me a fun little thing that now I know what the Whistler is, and I'm excited to share that with other people.
Yeah, and again, it was just a it was a fun movie, right? And it's weird because we got this, right? We get a lot of these have come through, and this one came through. Oh, if you want to screen or link, let us know. And I was like, oh, what the hell? We probably won't review it. We don't need to review it, but we might want to watch it. It looks decent, interesting. And then lo and behold, here we are. It just worked out. We needed to review and. And I'm glad we did. I think this was worthy of a review and worthy. I was going to watch it either way, but I think this was very worthy of an episode to review. So,
Yeah,
all
absolutely.
right, let's review this. Let me see. I'll go first, man. You know what? I think I'm just gonna have to stick with a straight three right in the middle because it was fun. It's like I almost want to give it a 3.5 because it's slightly, but I think I'll hold, knowing some of the movies I've given 3.5. So it's no disrespect. I don't know if this movie's quite to that, but it is a very solid movie, especially if you enjoy this kind of movie. Very fun for me, at least. And I think it's very worthy of just a 3. So, Ike, what do you think?
No, I 100% agree. Obviously nothing against the movie. It was a fun movie. I would rewatch it. But it doesn't do anything that a normal ghost story or a similar lore story would tell. Like, for instance, The Curse of Llorona, any of the, Conjuring-esque movies, Insidious, The Exorcist. The story of an evil spirit or an angry spirit or a spirit that does harm to those who get in its way is a tale as old as time itself, And typically what causes a movie about that kind of a spirit to really stand out is when either the actors go really above and beyond, or the effects are really above and beyond, or the story really above and beyond. But I feel like this is just kind of a standard ghost story. And that's not a bad thing, because we need movies like this. And without this movie, I'd have no idea who the Whistler is. So straight 3 out of 5 for me as well. Fun movie. But like you said, we rate some other movies at 3.5, 4. And I do not know if this is quite up to that par of those movies.
Yeah. But yeah, this is definitely, though, a movie I would recommend, especially if someone's into this kind of thing. I think it's not one of your typicals, right? That, it's not a Thin Man, Jersey Devil, whatever, that you see 50 million, or Slender Man, or whatever, that you see 50 million movies on. This is unique. A little different. Maybe there's been, I'm sure there's been some similar, but this one has a very authentic feel to it. So anybody that's into these kind of movies, I would definitely advise you to watch it. Again, limited theatrical release on April 17th. And I believe a same day video on demand release. So check it out when it comes out. Next episode, like we said earlier, we are reviewing Lee Cronin's The Mummy, not to be confused with any of the other mummies out there. And if you have a problem with Lee Cronin putting his name on there, just suck it. I'm going to absolutely say Lee Cronin's The Mummy every time I talk about this movie. So next movie, we are reviewing Lee Cronin's The Mummy. In case you missed it, it's Lee Cronin's The Mummy. So don't be so petty and worry about that. Anyway, we are reviewing that next episode. We would like to say thank you to our wives and then all of you listeners and followers for all of your support. Speaking of support, the best way that you can, there's two ways that you can support us. Number one, subscribe to us on social media. We're on any platform. Just search for Listen to Their Screams or Listen the Number 2 and Screams. Be out there, interact with us. That's probably one of the best ways to support us. Number two, and we don't mention this very often, we do have shirts out there. We do sell them, right? People do go out and buy them. We just, had somebody recently buy some. And for the first time, someone ordered a sticker. Very cool. I'd like to know who that was. And I'd like to know where you're going to put the sticker. I'm just curious. I just want to know. First sticker we've sold. We have different shirts out there, different styles, and each style has a multitude of colors you can choose and styles you can choose. So lots of variety out there. Go check it out. If you go to all of our links, there's easy click links to get you to your shirts. If you look at all of our recent promo materials, all of our new profile pictures and header pictures, everything else, we have completely refreshed and revamped everything. It updated it to current pictures of us wearing our shirts because we feel it's time that we promote us. And of course, we've got a multitude of horror shirts. No offense to any of that, but within our promo materials, we should wear our shirts. So there you have it. That's an example of the shirt. Again, you can get it in a multitude of colors and styles. And we have other designs as well, not just the our logo. So go check that out. Again, there is a link in the show notes if you just want to click and go. That's, a great way financially to support us, helps pay for the hosting and for the podcast and all that kind of stuff, everything else. So we do it for the love of the game, but it doesn't hurt if you defer some of our cost by ordering some shirts. Cool. And again, they're cool. They're cool shirts, very comfortable, very stylish, whatever. They very durable. I like my shirt. I think it fucking kicks ass, and I'm not just biased, but maybe I am, but who knows? So anyway, enough about the shirts. Before we close out, anything like you want to add?
Oh man, just same old. Make sure you go out and support horror this weekend. Obviously, we have the horror movie in theaters, Lee Cronin's The Mummy. If you don't like that, get fucked. I'm just kidding. And also Shudder and Screambox have some great stuff. And I recently canceled my Netflix subscription. Man,
Really?
they raised prices again. And the ad tier, man, the ad tier, they. Oh, that some bitch. They just cram those ads in there. Like literally, it just feels like I'm just like swimming through a sea of ads just to watch 5 seconds of an episode. But no, Shudder and Screambox, they don't do that. And knowing my luck, they're gonna turn around and start doing that. But for right now, they don't do ads, and I got to give them big props for that. Big ups for the no ads, and forever will love them for that. So. Basically what I'm getting at is fuck Netflix and go Shudder and Screambox.
That's right. And they're very affordable
Very
compared to
affordable.
all the other services. They're very affordable. And again, if I mean, you're listening to this, you're clearly a horror fan. If not, I'm not sure what you're doing, but that's cool. We still appreciate your listening, I guess. But I mean, if you're a horror fan, I mean, right, these are for you. You have to have them. It's literally one of those things. If you just want to watch something, you go to one of these, you scroll through a little bit, and you're going to find something you've never seen, probably something you've never heard of. Whether it be a new release or archive release or something for them, there's so much there. And again, they're always getting more. There's more of these new releases. Like we said, or the Tales from the Crypt coming to Shudder. It's just so much. And yeah, we will always proudly support them. They're also very good to horror podcasts and those of us, right, with different things and screener links and stuff like that. So we appreciate the symbiotic relationship we have with them. And it's easy to support something that you love. And we do love those services, and as will you. So we get no kickback, man. This is purely organic. We love their services. And we think you should go check them out. And you mentioned it. I don't know if there's, God, I don't know. The last thing I've watched something on Netflix, I guess Stranger Things.
Yeah, it was the last time I watched anything on Netflix, and after that, I had it for a few more months, and I'm just like, fuck, I don't watch anything on here. I'm just getting rid of it.
Yeah, it's like I remember I go whenever new Stranger Things. I don't know if there's anything else I have gone to besides outside of Stranger Things forever. I don't know what it would be. I watch tons of shit, and it's just never. I don't know, never. I mean, I'm not knocking anybody or whatever, but I don't know. I just don't watch a lot of Netflix. I watch other things. I watch tons more Shudder and Screambox than I do Netflix all the time. So
Oh yeah, same.
anyway, enough of that. So yeah, just go support those services. I'm sure most of you probably already do. You probably already subscribe. But if you do, yeah, go out and watch something good, right? There's a couple of good movies coming out. Kenold and Night Patrol. Go check them out. They're coming out soon. But until next episode, when we will be reviewing Lee Cronin's The Mummy. It makes me chuckle every time I say it. Wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.